I'm going to focus on Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able. And at the end of this, the reading of this one verse, we'll say the phrase, the very words, just to distinguish God's word from my own. Here's what the scripture says. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You can be seated. So I want to talk about following Jesus, the Jesus way. And this is definitely, if I had one message left to preach to the Church of Jesus Christ in America, it would be this message. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, talking about following Jesus, the Jesus way. I don't know what your perspective is, but I have some guesses because Americans sort of think this way when it comes to discipleship. A lot of American Christians really believe discipleship is this process of acquiring knowledge. The more I know about Jesus, the more I know about theology, the more I know about churchy stuff, the more of a disciple I am. And while acquiring knowledge is important and knowledge is a factor, just acquiring knowledge about Jesus does not make you a disciple of Jesus. How many of you know anybody can acquire knowledge about Jesus? Anyone? Okay. Secondly, sometimes we think that being a disciple of Jesus just means we learn to behave better. We sin less, and we think to ourselves, if I can acquire knowledge about Jesus, and if I sin less and less, it must mean I'm a disciple of Jesus. But did you know that anyone who's struggling with something can work on it and actually improve in the sin category? How many of you knew that? You don't have to be a disciple of Jesus to change your behavior. So that's not unique to being a disciple of Jesus. Some people think, well, if I could just be a good father, a good husband, a good mother, a good wife, good, you know, whatever, someone that people look at and think, well, he's a nice guy, she's a nice lady, then that's it. You know, how people think of me and my reputation. But how many of you know anybody can have a good reputation? Anybody can be a good parent. Unbelievers can be good wives and good husbands, actually. And so that's not even unique to being a follower of Jesus. When Jesus is asked the question, and he gives us this tiny statement in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 about what it means to come after him, to follow him, he breaks it down very simply in three ways. And the very first thing that he says we must do if we're going to be his disciples, if we would come after him, is that we have to deny ourselves. You have to deny yourself. Now, I'm not talking about that moment where you're at Chick-fil-A and you're trying to figure out, do I get the 6 count or the 8 count? I'll get the 6 count because I want to deny my... I'm not talking about that at all. If chicken nuggets don't do it for you, pick something. Cheesecake, double meat, double cheese, I don't know, but you pick it. I'm not talking about that kind of denial, although it might play in there somehow. I am talking about something radically different than that. It's the rejection of life based on self-interest and self-fulfillment. This is what Jesus is talking about. The rejection of life based on self-interest and self-fulfillment. Now, how many Americans, we'll just generally speak here. How many American Christians, American churchgoers, live their whole life based on self-interest and self-commitment? If it's the last sermon, I'm just going to go for it. Many, I don't even want to throw a percentage out there, but most people don't understand that what Jesus is saying when he says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, he's actually asking for the rejection of a life based on self-interest and self-fulfillment. And that is crazy to the American paradigm. It makes no sense. Because all of our lives we've been asking the question, what do I want to do with my life? Yeah, we've had successes, we've had failures, we've had disappointments, all those, but we still sort of live so the whole world will know there's a me. We have a life based on self-interest and self-fulfillment. We ask the question, what do I want to do? It's really the wrong question for a disciple of Jesus, anyway. The right question is, Jesus, it's your life. What do you want me to do? It's a completely different paradigm, but it's the first lens in which Jesus asks us to look through as a disciple of Jesus. A rejection of life that's based in self-fulfillment and self-interest. It's upside down from everything else, okay? So deny yourself. Is anybody feeling tension yet? You have to. You have to feel some tension with that. Right, the second thing that he says, well, before we go there, let's look at this. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Now, great crowds accompanied him. And that's the goal, right? To get great crowds around you, right? Now, great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, that's not the way to build a crowd. Hate your mom. Hate your dad. Hate your brother. Hate your sister. Hate your wife. Hate your kids. If you don't do that in comparison of your love for me, you cannot be my disciple. He's making the point in rabbinic hyperbole that you have to completely deny yourself. This is the call. So this is maybe the first step is the hardest one for us as Americans in the 21st century. The difference is a disciple seeks to fulfill the will and teachings of Christ. So I'm not seeking to fulfill my will. It's not about my self-fulfillment. I'm seeking to fulfill the will and teachings of Christ. So when he says, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. I mean, are we going to lean into that? As followers of Jesus, we would have to deny ourselves, right, to love our enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Even a simpler command, love your neighbor. Do you have to deny yourself a little bit to love your neighbor even? Probably. But, I mean, it goes farther. He shows the disciples the widow. She puts in a widow's mite in the offering box in the temple. It's everything that she had. And he said, give that way. Do you have to deny yourself completely to think, all the resources I have in my coffers are his, and if he wants it all, I have to give it to him because it's his anyway. You would have to completely deny yourself. You know, it says, he said this, that you, blessed are the peacemakers. Do you ever have to deny yourself in order to be a peacemaker? Yeah, amen, sister. Man, peacemaking is not easy. We're talking about our discipler, Jesus. One of his titles is Prince of Peace. Right? So you and I, we have to deny ourselves. He goes so far to say, you cannot be my disciple if you do not. So deny yourself. Second, he says this, if you go back to Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, or take up his cross every day. Now, to a first century Palestinian and Roman occupation, this needs no explanation. They have walked the streets and seen executions by crucifixion regularly. When someone says, take up the cross, for them, it needs no explanation. For us, it needs a little bit. Now, this is not a judgmental statement, but I'm just showing the contrast. We wear crosses all over us, on our necklaces and earrings, we have T-shirts, everything. A first century Palestinian would never do that. Why? Yeah, I mean, you don't like hang an electric chair around your neck. I'm not judging. I know you can mean different things for different people. I'm just saying, do you see the cultural difference? It's a big difference. A first century Palestinian hearing what Jesus is saying, they would never do that. They understand what it means. He is actually saying they need to take up what is called, it's just the timber that is the cross beam of the cross. It's called a patibulum. They need to take up that patibulum and walk with him to the place of death. Now, the illustration, the example is Luke chapter 23, verse 26. And as they led him away, meaning Jesus being led to the place of crucifixion, they seized one Simon of Cyrene who was coming from the country and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. This is the picture, that he picks up the cross and he carries it behind Jesus. We kind of know that story, but Jesus is saying this, that if you're going to follow me, you have to take up your cross daily and go the place that I'm going. To the original hearer, they would hear it as, I have to walk as someone who already is dead. I have to walk as somebody is already dead. And we just baptized, Joel just baptized Velma right here. She was buried. What happens just before you get buried? You die. She was buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in what? New life. Her old life is gone. She is not living for that old life of self-fulfillment or self-contentment anymore. She is living for the glory of Christ because she was already walked. She is now walking with him, going where he's going, willing to go to this place of crucifixion. This one for Americans makes no sense at all. It's metaphorical in the sense that every person is already on his way to death. It's metaphorical in the sense that life on this earth is already finished. Think about that for a minute. Life for the believer, for the follower of Jesus on this earth is already finished. God's already numbered your days, the good works that you're going to be doing. He's already assigned them to you. He knows the day of your physical death, and he's preparing a place for you to be with him for all eternity. But this life that Brian is living in this flesh, it's already finished. So now we're living a new life. The thing is, even Paul gets it. I mean, Romans chapter 12, 1, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. He's saying, just crawl up on the altar and make yourself a sacrifice. Your whole life, it's his. Take up your cross daily. Our value in America, in Christianity in America, is safety. Safety. Listen to yourself pray. Anybody prayed for safety regularly, multiple times a day? Safety, 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 safety. The Lord is your refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Be my refuge, be my strength. He's not calling his disciples to safety. So I kind of recognize this. Probably early 2000s, I went to Israel for the first time ever in my life. And the people closest to me in the church were worried for, guess what? My safety, which Israel is like Disneyland. If you want to be safe, go to Israel. Don't go to the rodeo. It's, in hindsight, it makes me laugh. But very concerned about my safety. And then when I started branching out outside the borders of that country to other places, and the people around me in that church at that time are very concerned for my safety. Because we value safety, we value security. It's one of our highest values. Even one time, I was in a city in the Middle East, and I met with denominational missionaries and told them where God had told us to go, and they said, you can't go there. It's not And I said, you can't go there because you work for the denomination. I can go. And I went, and guess what? I was safe. The value for a disciple of Jesus is not safety. It's the cross. We take up our cross daily and we follow him. We just, even in conversations in our neighborhood, in our workplace, we don't want to jeopardize a relationship. He's saying, take up the cross. So deny yourself, take up the cross daily, not just once. It's not like a one-time, not like a one-time thing. You know how sometimes church teaches you that if you just come to Christ and you accept him into your heart, you're baptized, then you can kind of live, be good, but just kind of live till you die, then you'll go to heaven. Be good, though. That's not ever what Jesus said. Ever. He says, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Strap it on daily. Walk with him daily. Listen to these words. Luke 14, chapter 27, words of Jesus. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Cannot be my disciple. You can be a churchgoer. You can be religious. You can wink at God two times a month, but you cannot be his disciple. That's his words. You can have all the knowledge, but you cannot be his disciple. That's his words, okay? Anybody have tension now? I'm trying to create tension. I have tension with this. We all have tension with this. Here's the third thing he said. If you go back to Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said, again to all, if anyone, people try to get out of this by saying this was for the original disciples. It's not. It's a greater crowd than the 12. And you have it in writing. Why do you think he would preserve it in writing for you? Because it applies to you. And he said to all, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, in that Greek there, the follow is it's a tense of a verb that means to follow continuously. To follow continuously. Do you know what that's like? It's like to never choose your own path. To never choose your own path, but to only always follow continuously Jesus. Again, not a one-time event. It is a daily, continual action. In the first century, the rabbinic understanding of discipleship is that we do what the discipler does, what the master does. So we do what Jesus does. We learn how to do it. We see how he does it. We do it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says this, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. This is that idea of following and being just like he is. We walk in him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, by this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. In other words, you should look like your master. You should be like your master because you're following him continuously. You should walk like he walks. That's very different from the American who identifies as a Christian and comes to church like twice a month and lives like the rest of the culture all through the week. It's very different. And I'm just saying there's a tension there, people, between the way that we live out discipleship and what Jesus said discipleship is. And there is no way to explain it away. It's not for just for his original hearers. It's for everyone who would follow Jesus Christ as Lord. It doesn't matter if you're from America or from Syria. It doesn't matter what generation you live in. He's called us to follow him this way. So how can we live this way? It's a really important question. It's a really important question because you might think if I just go to church, I'm good. We intuitively, we know that's not true. So how do we live this way? So if you are supposed to deny yourself daily, take up your cross daily, and follow him daily, then let me just give you like two big things that must be a part of your life in order for you to even be able to do that. And the first one is this: if you're gonna deny yourself, you're gonna take up your cross and you're gonna follow him daily, you're gonna have to hear him and see him daily. You'll have to hear him and see him daily. And you think to yourself, well, how in the world, I mean, we come to church kind of for that, and how in the world am I supposed to hear him and see him daily? Well, again, you know, I always ask, like, I always want to throw out, it's not rocket science, but then I realize there are rocket scientists in the room, and I feel weird, but it isn't rocket science. It's not difficult, but it is intentional. So if I'm going to hear him and see him daily, if I want to hear from God and see how Jesus is working, to know where to walk, to know what the path is, to understand where to go and what to do, what am I supposed to do? Because I can't, anybody ever had one of your little kids say, I can't see Jesus anywhere. How do you see him and hear him? Well, the very first thing that you must do daily, I mean, if you're going to deny yourself, you're going to take up your cross daily, if you're going to deny yourself daily, you're going to follow him daily, then you're going to have to, catch this, ready? Write this down. Read your Bible daily. You think, oh, Pastor, I knew you would say that. I'm telling you, this is the last sermon I would preach if I knew I was dying in 20 minutes. You're going to have to read your Bible daily if you want to hear him and see him. How amazing is it that you hold in your hand the very words of God? All this time has gone by and it's been preserved and it's on almost every language on earth and will be soon. Some of you have like 7 Bible apps on your phone, 14 copies of the Bible in your house. You know? I mean, we just have so much access. We have so much access to the Word. Yet, what is the most difficult thing in life to have time to do? Is it this? I mean, generally speaking, it is. I have sometimes that I just love it and it's easy, and then other times where I feel like I'm so busy, I don't know how I'm going to get into it. I can get into it for you, but do I have time for it for me? It's kind of a weird dynamic of being Pastor Brian, but maybe you just don't. You're going to have to read the Bible daily. So right now I'm reading Psalms slowly. I'm in Psalm 47 since the beginning of the year, so you can tell that's like really slow. I'm not trying to read the whole Bible this year. I just want to hear God for me. And you could pick, I'm telling you, like everybody has an idea what's best. You pick anything you want to read in the Bible. God will speak to you. You get quiet, you ask his Spirit to open your ears, and you will hear his voice. Here's the dynamic, though. Most people go running back to the Bible when they're in a predicament, quandary. How many of you ever had that sort of scenario in your life, maybe where you hadn't been in the Bible for a long time, but then you got in a place, a predicament, something that was really difficult, and you opened the Word. You did one of those, like, Lord, speak to me. And he actually did. He actually did. It's because he wants you to hear him. And he'll take whatever feeble attempt you make to open his word and listen, he will speak to you. How many of you know as a father, mother, grandmother, grandfather, that if that one that is your child or your grandchild wants to hear from you suddenly, you will take that moment to speak? They actually want to listen to you, you'll take that moment to speak. He wants us to hear him. And if we're going to hear him and know where to go and what to do, how to deny myself, how to walk it out, how to follow him, how to take up my cross, I'm going to have to be in his word daily. I'm going to have to rely on his spirit while I'm in his word every day, multiple times a day maybe. I mean, let me just say that it's I don't know how long you have to live. But this Bible, there is so much in there to learn and understand and experience of God. Like, you might need more than once a day. You're like, well, you're asking me to jump from 0 to, 60. And okay, go for 1. But when the disciples asked Jesus, like, teach us to pray, and he said, Our Father in heaven, holy is your name, their assumption is they're going to pray in that day and time, at least, I mean, intentional prayer, at least 3 times a day. And then Paul says, pray continually, to walk in the Spirit continually. So somehow, if we're going to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him, we're going to have to read this Bible, know what it says, let the Spirit remind us of it and teach us how to walk. And we're going to have to pray continually and intentionally all the time. And some of you are going to say, I don't have time for that. And I'm going to remind you, Jesus said, if you don't take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. I'm not trying to be legalistic and say if you don't read the Bible 7 times a day, you're somehow unholy. I'm saying to you, if you don't hear from God, you will not know how to follow him. And you need more than a sermon, more than a podcast. All that's great, but what you need is to hear from God for you. See. And so you have to get in his word. You have to follow his spirit. And in that same category of hearing him and seeing him, how do we see him? Again, it's in his word. I mean, there's lots of ways, but the simplest way is in his word. If you read the Gospels, you see how Jesus works. You see how he loves. You see how he deals with grief. You see how he deals with anger. You see how he restores relationships. You understand what his mission is, what everybody's being called to. You, in fact, learn to walk right behind him because you see how he walks. This is just an example. Woman at the well in John chapter 4, sitting at the well in Samaria. Most everybody else walks around Samaria. Not Jesus. He doesn't walk around anybody. He goes to the woman. Most men wouldn't sit down with a woman at a well. He sits down and talks to her. He has compassion on her. She receives him. Most people would just walk around. Do you see how your rabbi walks? If you read that, you understand. We don't walk around people. We go to them. And we can learn, and we can, there's so much to learn. But he shows us perfectly like how he walked. We just gotta get in there, and read. And in that same category, how do you hear him and see him every day? You have to fight sin. Do you know that sin is like earplugs for your relationship with Jesus? It's like, to not push back sin, to embrace sin instead of gospeling yourself and receiving the grace and asking forgiveness and repenting, to just embrace sin is like you're sticking your fingers in your ear and saying, la, 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 la. That's why Jesus is always praying, give them ears to hear, eyes to see, because people that are focused on sin or focused on the world don't have ears to hear, eyes to see. You have to, what the writer of Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus. And that's just looking a different place. That means instead of understanding what the world wants me to do and trying to figure out what do I do with my life, I look here and say, what do you want me to do? So you have to hear him and see him every day. But here's the second part. How can we live this way? Well, you have to trust him enough to follow. To trust him enough to follow. Anybody, you remember the first high dive experience you ever had? Come on. Like, it's summer. I don't know how old you are. You're at the neighborhood pool or whatever. And someone finally gets you to go all the way up there and you climb up the ladder and you walk out on the end of that board. And maybe your dad or your mom sort of like treading water. It's like, once you hit the water, I'm going to get you. It's going to be okay. Who do you have to trust? Pop or mom or whoever, you know, that's down there. Did anybody have any, like, would you say, I hesitated? Raise your hand. I hesitated. Right. Why? It's a trust issue. It's a little scary, and I don't know that I'm going to be okay. It's a trust issue. Sometimes following Jesus feels like that. Sometimes it feels like that a lot. Like, just where do you want me to go? And he says, I want you to go here. And you're like, but wait, the board ends. And you have to be willing to take a step to see what comes next. It's interesting, he gives that illustration that he lights our path. He's the light that lights our path. It's like if you're again first century, this is an oil lamp. It's not lighting much of your path. A little bit of your path. Just enough to what? To take the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step, right? So you have to trust him that way. To do the things that he calls you to do. Do you know the first thing he said to his disciples? His disciples are, some of them, fishermen. The text tells us that they're about their livelihood, their fishing business. He says, come, follow me. The first decision they have to make is, am I going to follow him to a place I have no idea where we're going? Or am I going to stay here and continue to make, you know, the money that I make from this fishing business? It's an economic decision. In large part, like, how am I going to survive beyond that? Many other decisions. But a lot of times, for us in the 21st century, these become economic decisions. Like, the Lord is telling me to do this, but what about all this? We have to know that we can trust him. Patrick read a verse out of Malachi, I, the Lord, do not change. He is so trustworthy, so faithful. We have to trust him enough to follow. So we need feet for the path. Anybody ever walked up a very difficult path? A real one, not like a proverbial one, but like you went to, anybody been to Enchanted Rock in Austin? Right? It's kind of up, right? Is anybody like somewhere mid hill, whatever that is, decide, I'm not gonna finish this? You don't have to out yourself. But you're burning here and your feet are here and now it's windy on you and sometimes we need feet for the path because sometimes the path is gonna be harder than we think. Let's see. We need to pray for that. Feet to follow. Also, a heart that would follow him. Because if your heart is chasing self-fulfillment, if you haven't denied yourself, you're not going to follow Jesus. You're going to follow yourself. Here's what people do. They follow the desires of their heart and they blame Jesus for it. They follow the desires of their heart and they blame Jesus for it. Be careful with that. Follow Jesus. It's a simpler step. It's like, what do I want to do? Will Jesus bless this? Okay, that's one way. Jesus, what do you want me to do? That's the other way. So we need feet for the path. We need a heart to follow. That's your whole life. How about a mind to think Jesus' thoughts? I don't mean like you have to be singing Jesus Loves Me in your head all the time. But what if your mind thought like this? Like my mission field is my neighborhood, my workplace, my family. I am to demonstrate what it means to be a disciple of Jesus to all these people involved. Sometimes I'll be using words. Sometimes it will be just the way that I live. A mind to think, how do I impact people with the Jesus way of living in my domain, the place that he's put me. We need a mind to think about these things and trust him enough to follow. How about hands? Hands to do the work. He gave you work to do for the kingdom's sake. It doesn't matter what your job is. You have work to do for the kingdom's sake. We all have different jobs. All have different domains. But in those jobs and in those domains, in our workplaces, in our school, in our neighborhood, we are to be the ones that use our hands to do the work of Christ. People should notice that, even if they're not Christians. Maybe especially if they're not. So we take up our cross, we deny ourselves, we follow him, we have feet for the path, a heart to follow, hands to do the work, a mind to impact people in the domains he wants us to impact for his kingdom's sake. To me, if the American church could learn anything, it would be, what is a disciple? What is a disciple? Because it's not just reading one more book. It's take up your cross, deny yourself, follow him. I think Jesus would say that to us. And I think you have to think about it. And you have to choose. He's hard. Jesus is hardcore. Cannot. It's no like massaging the language in the original, you know, to try to make it be like maybe for some people it's okay, but for other people, it's just cannot. You cannot be my disciple if you don't take up your cross. So that might mean that some things change for you. Some values change for you. The ways that you're living change. I don't know. That's you and the Holy Spirit. You gotta deal with that. It's not on me. But if I had one sermon left to preach, this is what I would preach. Because I don't think Americans get it. American Christians. I don't think they get it. Not generally. So let's be unique. Let's take up our cross, deny ourselves, follow him. Daily, continually, right? Amen? All right, I'm interested to hear what Cade would preach last next week, so come back for that. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes and ask the Lord to speak to you? Father, we know that we live in a world that really trains us to be self-indulgent and to fulfill ourselves. And yet you, Jesus, have called us to something completely different, and that is to serve and follow you. And so, God, would you give us wisdom that comes from you? We ask for conviction by your Spirit, Lord. We know that's a good thing. And so where we need to change, would you convict us by your Spirit that we would follow you more? Grow us each. Draw us each closer to you. Help us to keep your teaching in mind as we seek to follow you. We love you so much. We pray it all in Christ's name. Amen.